Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue our series on census results now, as every Thursday this month, we've been digging deep into the numbers gathered in the 2010 census, now being rolled out, and what they mean about how our communities are changing. If last year was the year of the census, this is the year we analyze its findings. But we know it's not just the data that's important. It's what the data means for our political process and the weight the numbers carry in reapportionment, for example. New York State, as we've discussed, is set to lose two seats in Congress. New Jersey is set to lose one. These seats are going to places like Texas. And all across the country, the dramatic rise in the Hispanic population is one of the deciding factors in how these political maps are being redrawn. So joining me again is Sam Roberts, urban affairs correspondent and census watcher for the New York Times. Hey, Sam, welcome back to WNYC.
Glad to be here, Brian.
And when we talked about New Jersey's results last week, we talked about Hispanics becoming the largest minority group in the state for the first time, now ahead of the African-American population. As the state results come out, the growth of the Hispanic population nationwide seems to be much more than was anticipated and estimated by the census beforehand. How much so?
That's true. Brian, there are a couple of reasons for that. Hispanic people now constitute about 15% of the national population, and the number is growing for a couple of reasons. About one in four babies being born these days has a Hispanic mother. So this reflects higher birth rates among Hispanic immigrants. Like many immigrant groups, the birth rates are higher in that first generation. And also, of course, the results of immigration, both legal and illegal. Most of the immigrants are now coming from Latin America, South America, Hispanic countries, and of course, among the 11 or so million illegal immigrants in the country, a disproportionate number are also Hispanic.
So one in four babies being born in the United States now are at least half Hispanic. What's the total percentage of the population that is Hispanic as of the 2010 census? Do we have that?
We don't have it in total, but it's now probably up to about 15% or perhaps a little bit more than that. I read a fascinating statistic the other day that we have more Spanish speakers these days in the United States than Spain does. We are only exceeded in the number of Spanish speakers by Mexico.
Now, we have New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, some of the states where one would expect the Latino population to be going up because of their proximity to Mexico. But now we're hearing census estimates undershot how much the Latino population would grow in the last decade in other parts of the country. We know that Texas will gain four congressional seats. Florida will gain two. Georgia, Nevada, South Carolina, Utah, Washington State, each gaining a seat. How much do we know about the Hispanic population contributions to that in those states?
Enormous, absolutely enormous. In New Mexico, 46% of the population is now Hispanic. In Arizona, the increase in Hispanics went from about 25% of the population to 30%. In Texas, Hispanic people accounted for two-thirds of the state's growth in the last decade.
Wow.
They now account for almost 40% of the population. The fact is that Hispanic people are the driving force in population growth all around the country, but particularly in the West and the Southwest.
But let me ask you about some political ramifications of that that might be counterintuitive, because we assume if New York and New Jersey are losing congressional seats and Texas and Arizona are gaining them, that that's going to mean fewer Democrats in Congress and more Republicans because of who tends to get elected from our respective regions. But Hispanics tend to vote for Democrats. So does that mean, you know, that we shouldn't assume that it's going to be more Republicans coming out of these extra four seats from Texas because the growth in the population is largely Hispanic? Or how do we crunch those numbers?
Well, it's a good question. I think the short-term response is that you may see more Republicans elected. In the long term, however, assuming Hispanic people keep the tendency to vote Democratic, that is likely to change. And there are two reasons for that. One, of course, is that a lot of them are immigrants and not citizens, legal or illegal, or at at least not citizens yet, so they can't vote. The census apportions seats in the House of Representatives not on adults or voters, but on total population. The other is that a lot of them are young. They are newly born or came as young people, and the Hispanic population in this country, and particularly in the places where it's growing fastest, is much younger than the black or non-Hispanic white or Asian population.
A Pew Hispanic Center number crunching of some 2009 census data found that nearly 6 million more Latinos have become eligible to vote in the last decade nationwide, and a vast majority of these new voters, 5 million, are those who turned 18 in the past year, 10 years, so from growing up rather than from immigration. Looking ahead to the 2020 census, if we can look that far in advance, how many more might be able to vote in the next decade?
Well, I think a lot more, but a couple of things to keep in mind. The number of babies being born to Hispanic mothers in the United States now surpassed the number of new Hispanic immigrants. What that means is a growing proportion of the population describing themselves as Hispanic or Latino are now being raised from birth as Americans. And another thing, you know, when we get all our hang-ups about race and ethnicity, the census predicts that somewhere roughly around 2040, black, Hispanic, Asian Americans will constitute a majority of the population. Important to remember, for whatever it's worth, that most Hispanic people identify themselves as white, however. And my guess is by 2042, we probably won't even be measuring Hispanics as a separate group anymore. They will be so incorporated into what we consider to be American.
If the number of voters is growing at a slower rate than the population, how much of that is due to illegal immigration, which we haven't mentioned yet?
Well, I think there are two things. One is illegal immigration. One is the fact that people are not naturalized yet. And the third is that the Hispanic population is disproportionately young, that is, young below the eligible age to vote. So those three factors all conspire to limit the create a disproportionate growth in the overall population compared to the voting population. But the voting population is bound to catch up, and it's clearly going to do that in a relatively short period of time.
New York Times urban affairs correspondent and census watcher Sam Roberts joining us every Thursday this month as the census figures are getting rolled out in the month of March. And for the first time, the 2010 census asked about the specifics of those who identify as Hispanic. There was an option for Mexican, Mexican-American, Chicano, that was one category, an option for Puerto Rican, another for Cuban, and then a write-in section about country of origin, because we have Colombians, Dominicans, Nicaraguans, et cetera. How has this expanded section affected the results for the Hispanic population?
Well, we haven't seen it totally nationwide yet. We'll probably see that in a couple of weeks or so. In fact, New York may be coming out next Thursday by the time we talk again. But one of the things that it does suggest is the enormous diversity in the Hispanic population. We're seeing that some in the Asian population, too. But among immigrants coming to this country, it's not as if there are just Puerto Ricans in New York and Cubans in Miami and Mexicans in Texas and California. The population is much, much more diverse, coming from lots of places in Latin America and South America that never sent large numbers of immigrants here before. Ecuadorians in New York City, a growing part of the population. And what's so fascinating about it is you wonder if they consider themselves all Hispanic people, or they consider themselves Ecuadorians and Dominicans and Cubans and lots of other different things.
And some of the numbers that we have from the Census Bureau's 2009 American Community Survey, and these are national numbers, the top 10 Hispanic group population numbers nationwide, 30 million Mexicans living here, or people who identify themselves as Mexican-American, Chicano, whatever, 30 million, 4 million Puerto Rican, 1.5 million Cuban, 1.5 million El Salvadoran, and 1.3 million Dominicans, You wouldn't know these ratios by walking around New York, right, where Dominicans are probably number one by a lot.
Right. Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, obviously, in New York. But a growing segment, which you might not ordinarily expect here, are Mexicans in New York.
Growing very fast in the last 10 years. And when the New York numbers finally come out later this month, I'm sure you and I will be talking about the spike in the Mexican population as one of the headlines, right?
Undoubtedly. That will probably show among the biggest percentage increases since 2000.
We asked on Facebook how the growing Hispanic population in the U.S. is noticeable in your community, and some of the responses we're getting. Amber in Northwest Arkansas wrote, "The attempts to have a multicultural Catholic parish have been a challenge. The bishop is very supportive of the immigration of the immigrant population integrating into existing parishes, but there are growing pains." Eileen wrote, "Much better Mexican food than you used to find in New York." Carolita wrote, and of course somebody's going to write that. You know somebody's going to write that. Carolita wrote, "Me, I'm one of the incoming, the mixed race American born baby. There's lots of us out there." You know, the religious angle is really interesting, isn't it? Because we talk about Catholics, this is St. Patrick's Day, when we talk about Catholic politics in America, we usually talk about Irish politics and Italian politics, but the large majority of Latin Americans coming to this country and being born here are Catholic, right?
And they are indeed, and the church catering to them, appealing to them in great numbers, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, to what extent religion becomes a unifying force with other Catholics in the United States, or whether for mutual reasons they remain sort of segregated as Hispanic people rather than necessarily as Hispanic Catholic people.
And before you go, and we have a minute left, and it is St. Patrick's Day. New York City certainly has a very Irish history, but what do we know about how Irish the country still is or is becoming?
Well, about 35 million Americans claim Irish ancestry, and that's surpassed only by the number who claim German ancestry, which is about 50 million. New York, I'd say, you know, you could make a good case that there are more people of Irish ancestry in New York than any other city in the world, including Dublin. The city of Dublin has about 500,000 people, and based on the national statistics, the population is about 80% ethnically Irish. That would bring it down to 400,000 Irish. New York has about 5.2% of the population its Irish ancestry, which would make it more than 400,000. So I'd say New York is number one.
Hmm. How about that? And as of 2008, 36 million U.S. residents claimed Irish ancestry. There are only 4.5 million residents of Ireland today. 24% of Massachusetts residents identify as of Irish ancestry. And Sam, I don't know if you want to call in later in the program when, for St. Patrick's Day, we're playing Stump the Dialect Coach. We will see if our expert can tell if your Irish accent is real or fake.
Huh. Okay. Mine is from Brooklyn.
So maybe or maybe not. Sam Roberts calling in to join that. But I know you'll be calling in next Thursday when we continue our census rollout series. Thanks a lot,
Absolutely.
Sam.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.